Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning and welcome in. Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. It is Wednesday. February is 19 days old. This is one of those good weeks to be doing a radio show in Washington, D.C., talking about sports. There is a lot going on.
We're all abuzz about it. Caps made a deal. I think they needed to do that. I think of that wonderful article about Brian McClellan, who I'm a massive fan of, obviously, because I'm a human being that lives in D.C., where he asks, how's the room? How's the room? How's the room? I think right now the room isn't great, talking about the locker room, right? It's guys saying kind of the same refrains, the same thing over and over. They're stuck in a rut. Injection of life. Bring in a new defenseman from San Jose. It sounds like a good deal to me.
Yeah, they needed defensive help. There's no doubt about that. Mm-hmm. Their defense has fallen apart over the last several weeks. I don't think he's necessarily a foolproof fix.
Oh, of course not.
By any means at 29 years old. But Brendan Dillon coming over is going to be a benefit and can help them more than some of the kids they were calling up. My concern was because of their salary cap restrictions, they weren't going to get anybody that was particularly helpful. But this is where Brian McClellan has been worth his weight in gold. This is where they've been really sharp over the last few years. These kind of back-of-the-roster fits where he makes the money work somehow. I don't know how him and Dick Patrick and the crew in that front office do it. But they crunch all the numbers with their lab jackets on, and they mix all the potions, and they come back with a guy with no cap space who should be able to be a contributor more nights than not the rest of the way. So that was a big splash yesterday in Washington, D.C. Obviously, the Redskins have been in the news a lot the last few days with some decisions coming down the pike for Ron Rivera. Big story with the Redskins was they missed out on Greg Olsen yesterday. Olsen signing a one-year deal in Seattle for $7 million. Look, I just don't think that the Redskins had what they needed to offer. Mm-hmm. To me, this is the equivalent of, like, they're trying to buy a house and someone made a cash offer to somebody. That's just going to trump you.
Right.
The cash offer in football is, I can give you a Super Bowl opportunity.
Yeah, you got to pay the we stink tax.
Yes.
And you do.
You either come to the table and have a considerably better offer than everyone else, or you're in a bad spot. Because if you're Greg Olsen looking at teams, I go to Buffalo, I'm making the playoffs next year. And if we make a run, who knows? Maybe I get to a Super Bowl. They almost won their first round game against the Houston Texans. Probably should have. If you're Greg Olsen and you're looking at Seattle, well, they get to the postseason every single year. That's going to happen again this year. You go to Washington, you might be 6-10. A couple things go right, maybe you're 7-9. A couple things go wrong, maybe you're 5-11.
You're in a different place than those
other
teams.
You're signing a 1 or 2 year deal. You're 34 years old. Don't you want to win a Lombardi Trophy? So I don't think they were able to be in the vicinity of those two teams unless they wanted to dramatically overpay. And I got to be honest, I'm a little bit surprised he was able to get $7 million.
And that's where I was going to go. I want Greg Olsen at Adrian Peterson money. I want Greg Olsen at, you are not someone I'm counting on to be a starter. I don't need $7 million in my salary cap going to an oft-injured tight end.
Call him in 3 years, then, if you want Adrian Peterson.
And that's kind of what I'm saying. So I have no remorse. I basically would have said, here's an offer. Going to be honest with you, you probably don't even want to take this. You should go to a different team that's willing to pay more for your services and deal with the injury risk. I'm so injury risk averse because of what's happened at my tight end spot over the last several seasons. I need a brick wall. I need an actual piece of iron at tight end. I can't have Mr. No Foot. I can't have you. Here's an offer. You're not going to like it. Go somewhere else and go win.
The problem for the Redskins is that while their tight end position is currently an absolute disaster, the amount of capable free agents who can help you on the tight end market is lower than it has been in many years. I mean, there are guys you could sign who are either older or for a year or two could be okay. Olsen was one of them. If you wanted to go the route of, say, Jason Witten at 38, who's willing to play for someone other than the Cowboys, he said yesterday, or Mercedes Lewis, just played with the Packers, 36 years old. If you wanted to stay old, you could go Darren Fells, decent year with the Texans, 34 years old. But basically, it's Austin Hooper, who I think is going to get franchise tagged. He may be able to walk and get a huge contract. Hunter Henry, if you want to get back into the Jordan Reed boat, is unbelievable tight end when healthy, but probably won't be available more than 7 to 9 times.
He's either going to make or break somebody's offense. You know what I mean? Where it's you count on the guy and he's going to be injured, or he'll do what a lot of people did with the Phoenix Suns, where they would just go late in their career and all of a sudden they have the great training staff. And next thing you know, they're putting up 20-10 again. That could happen somewhere. But for me, I'm buyer beware. I cannot get in that marketplace again with the off-injured guy.
I'm out on Henry, like you, because I just played that game.
I did it.
If I hadn't played and lost the same exact game the last 3 or 4 seasons with Jordan Reed, I might be more interested in rolling the dice.
Right.
But I'm with you. I want a known commodity. So I'm probably dipping into that next tier of your Ricky Seals-Jones types or your athletic players who have had some decent success, not great, like Clive Walford. But then you're addressing this in the draft probably in the first couple of rounds, I'm guessing, right? I mean, don't you have to be thinking about a tight end early in the draft? If you're signing up, I'm just picking a name, let's say. But let's go with Charles Clay, who's 31, or Lance Kendricks, who's 32, to be like a co-first, second tight end type who can block and catch a few balls. If that's what you're doing, don't you think you also have to draft the tight end initially? Because it's not that guy and Jeremy Sprinkle. That ain't putting the Triscuit crackers in my stomach. Jeremy Sprinkle is you and me, but bigger. He's just a dude. There are 800 Jeremy Sprinkles floating around. If he's on your team or he's not on your team, it doesn't matter at all, in my opinion. He's just a huge body who doesn't help that much.
There's nothing that he does that you say we have to have that skill set. They need something dynamic there. And I'm now so jealous of the San Franciscos of the world that have guys like George Kittle, who is a wonderful pass receiver. We all know that, but is a mauler in the blocking game. The obvious tell of blank tight end is in the game, therefore we've got a 90% chance we can bet on this kind of play coming, is a huge detriment to the Redskins' offense. It used to be that Jordan Reed was so good, you lived with that. You lived with terrible blocking because there was nobody who could check that guy. No linebacker, no safety, no cornerback could deal with him. Those days are long over, which is why he's about to be cut. If you have a receiver that's that dynamic as a tight end, that's cool. We can talk about that. Your offense can be pretty good. We saw that what happened with him and Cousins making beautiful magic together. Short of that, I need somebody where he can block and he can catch some passes. You're going to lose an element of the huge level of dynamic that Jordan Reed was. They don't make many of those guys. I need somebody that can do both.
There was a time a bunch of years ago in this league where you didn't have to have a quality pass-catching tight end, probably. Now, you could have just had a guy who blocked, maybe caught 35, 40 balls. Those days are over, man. If you really want to present matchup problems and spread teams out, because of personnel, you need to be able to line up, get out in the huddle, basically, with multiple tight ends, and then spread them out against linebackers.
Yeah, I need defensive coordinators to see, ooh, look, they're in a 2-tight-end look. I better put my base defense in. Then I need my tight end to be able to beat that linebacker like a drum.
That's what works, and it's why so many teams play nickel and dime now, because even when there's 2 tight ends on the field, I say, well, those guys are going to be split out. Those are athletes. Those are basically big wide receivers. I'm putting extra DBs out there, and then that's when you bunch them up. You set them in motion. You get them back into the box, and you just maul people.
Yeah,
that multi-dimensional ability, which the Redskins have not had in years. Is why teams like New Orleans or Kansas City are so effective, because their tight ends can beat you in both ways. Speaking of New Orleans, by the way, yesterday, Drew Brees made the announcement. I'm kind of not a big fan of the weird announcements with, like, pictures of nature and, like, but he did the wacky where, like, the Marshawn Lynch hang shoes on a wire thing where he's like, I'm coming back. And it's just a weird picture of wherever he's at on vacation. But he makes the announcement, huge announcement for Saints fans, that he is returning and he will be part of their offense for his 20th season in the NFL. This means that right away, number one, New Orleans is a Super Bowl contender, right? You agree with that?
Yes.
One of the best teams in the conference. Number two, bad news for Teddy Bridgewater and Taysom Hill. Bridgewater is going to become a free agent. He'll leave. Taysom Hill is staying put and is a gimmick player for another year, so all of the Taysom truthers who thought he might take over as the starting quarterback are going to have to sit pretzel style and wait for a couple more years. I heard the craziest thing in the world yesterday. Jeremy Fowler of ESPN, who covers the NFL, speculated that Teddy Bridgewater could get $30 million this offseason.
Good Lord.
I'm just going to tell you. First, that's not happening. We can start with that. 27 years old. If Teddy Bridgewater gets $30 million, no one's ever allowed to talk about Kirk Cousins being overpaid again. That's just a new rule. If Bridgewater gets 30, you have to never again bring up Kirk Cousins' annual average value, because that would be preposterous. One of those guys has been successful and made multiple Pro Bowls and really good for several years. The other hasn't played.
Teddy went 5-0 this year for the Saints.
Right.
Look at his record.
But
man, oh man.
I would think he's going to get closer to like $23, $24 million, which is still crazy.
Which is still nuts.
But that's the bare minimum if you're signing a quarterback in this market.
If you want a guy to come in and start, that's what it's going to cost.
What do you think Breeze is going to get? We're at a point now where Wilson makes 35 a year, Roethlisberger 34, Rodgers 33 and a hook, Goff 33 and a half, which, by the way, oh my God. Jared Goff makes 33 and a half, and he killed the Rams this past year.
Yep.
Wentz 32, Ryan 30, Cousins 28. That is your top 8 paid quarterbacks in the league. Breeze is better than all those guys. That's not really how it works, though. Where do you slot him in? 1 year, $34 million? 2 years, $68 million? Something like that?
So I haven't studied their cap situation, but I imagine with a veteran group like that, they're probably up against it. So I wonder how...
Well, they got to move on from a bunch of guys, probably.
Yeah, I wonder how flexible that he's going to be. You know, they got a bunch of high-paid guys, whether it's, you know, Terron Armstead or Michael Thomas,
he's never really been a discount guy. Like,
no.
He's not on that Brady venue where he's looking and he's going... Just pay me $22 million a year and surround me with weapons. He's normally right at the top of the board.
And so I wonder if it's going to be, hey, what can we do here?
Right.
Right? Because if you come back at, say, for the sake of argument, 36, 37, we probably have to let go, I don't know, Jared Cook. We probably can't keep Cam Jordan or whatever. And it makes it a lot harder for you. Right? I wonder how it's going to go. If there's going to be a compromise or if it's, no, I'm Drew Brees. Pay me that money.
Let's open up the phones at 800-636-1067. Skins fans, I'd be curious about this. Your thoughts on losing out on Greg Olsen? Anybody down? Anybody upset about that? Are you okay with the fact that he wasn't coming here and it was too much money anyway? 800-636-1067. Your thoughts on Breeze returning and what it means for the Saints. Also next, XFL ratings came in.
Mm-hmm.
Week 2. Good, bad. We'll talk about them on G&D. Grant and Danny. 1067 the fan. Every time I think I know the traffic pattern in and out of the city by day of the week,
something happens.
I somehow get it wrong. Like today is Wednesday. Normally Wednesdays are tumultuous. I left extremely early because of that. Not one issue, not one car, not one school bus, nothing. I got here like 8:40 only because the construction around this building pinned me in for 12
sure,
minutes.
Yeah, you lose
which
the last
that
10 minutes.
You kind of bank on. That's gospel. You know that every day. That construction's not going away. But what happened? I thought Wednesday was the worst day to drive into D.C. in the last couple of weeks.
I'll never know.
All of a sudden, Wednesday seems like a pleasant day to drive into D.C.
I will never know. What a casual trip this morning.
It's funny, though, when you talk about it, there's always like people that work for the government or whatever that do know, and they're shocked that you don't. Like, that's the day that we're not there as much. Oh, Congress is in or Congress is out. Like, I'm supposed to keep all these things on some calendar somewhere.
Sorry, I wasn't able to keep tabs. Sorry. No, this is a telecommute Wednesday. Oh, it is? Cool.
Nobody informed me.
Nobody let me know that.
Well, the Metro's not running between 6 and 7 tomorrow. I guess I'll check my Metro app and make sure. I haven't been on the Metro in 2 years.
Should I still drive into work then? I'll just keep doing that.
No consistency.
None.
No rhyme or reason.
But it's fine. I'll take today. I'll take it like this.
Today's the best.
I'll take it.
More of these. Jake's in Fredericksburg. Jake, the Skins missed out on Greg Olsen. He ends up signing with Seattle. They had something they could offer that the Skins couldn't, and that was the chance to win a la the cash when you're trying to buy a house and you're just making that down payment. What do you make, man? What do you think of it?
You know, I think it was a catch-22 for them. I agree that they, you know, it would have been nice if they would have got him. It would have stunk to have to pay him that much money. But the thing that I think that stings the most is I'd love for them to get a bunch of, like, these older, grizzly, accountability-holding veterans to kind of help these younger guys. And that's where I think they kind of missed out. But, again, did you really want to pay him that much money?
I did not. No. Appreciate the call. I like this tweet here, too. You can send us a tweet. I'm at Grant H. Paulson.
At Funny Danny for me.
So... not every move has to be some hard and fast rule, but one of my things I told you at the beginning of the offseason that I've gone hard with and kind of mentioned as a broken record now is I am prioritizing speed. I want to get faster on both sides of the ball. Mm-hmm. Look at the Chiefs' offense, the Chiefs' defense, what works in this league, fast. Everyone's got to be able to run. That's not really Greg Olsen at this point. So on Twitter, Slick says, I'm good on Olsen. I want younger, faster players, and he had injuries. And I understand what he's saying. The big tight end who's your safety valve on 3rd and 7, who's going to catch a ball for 9 yards with a dude hanging on his kneecap, he doesn't need to be the fastest guy in the room. If they sign a big, injury-prone, kind of thick, slower wide receiver, I don't like that as much. I'm trying to go smaller, faster, explosive, get down the field, use the entire width of the field like Andy Reid does at that position. But at tight end, I don't have a problem just bringing in a workhorse type who's going to average 9 to 12 a catch at this point of his career.
Sure. Again, it's different needs for different spots, right? I don't want another big bruising receiver, despite my proclivity to fall in love with every big receiver that's ever come out in the NFL draft. This tight end thing, it's really, really grown because of my experience here with the Redskins, right? In years past, they would go, find me a bunch of Jordan Reeds. You know what I mean? Like, let's go get a bunch of guys that are matchup nightmares that nobody can stop and just make them glorified wide receivers, and that's awesome. Now, watching what's happened as he's been oft injured and he's declined and all the different things that have happened, you watch everybody able to stop them much more easily. And it's up to the creativity of the coaching staff to try to design all these different machinations and different tells. But you knew when Jeremy Sprinkle would trot into the game and Jordan Reed would trot out, here comes the run. We can't have that. There's no time for that in this league now. Everybody's too good. Everyone's too fast. You need to be able to dictate to the defense instead of vice versa.
It's just amazing that the Redskins, I won't say they didn't know it, but they didn't do anything about it for multiple years. And I guess the problem was that you committed to Reed, who was never available, because he was such a special pass catcher. But the weirdest thing to me is they doubled down on that type of player. Like, generally, the tight end position should complement one another. Mm-hmm. So you've got a Reed, you go get a big hulking, blocking presence.
Yeah.
Where they did the same thing, like an older version, a really fast pass catcher in Vernon Davis, who wasn't a particularly good blocker anymore. Now, the XFL ratings came out. Let me pivot to that for a second. Obviously, in week one, you and I talked about this. After the 19-year hiatus, everyone was interested. Everyone wanted to see what the deal was, right? So there were over 3 million viewers in that first week for those cable games on the XFL. This weekend, week two, 2.12 million viewers on Saturday for the Guardians and the Defenders. That was a game that was on ABC. An average audience of 2.4 million on Sunday for the Renegades and the Wildcats. That also was on ABC. Now, if you go back to the debut weekend on Saturday, 1 week earlier on ABC, it was 3.3. So you're down from about 3.3 million to 2.12 million. A fall off of about 35% or so. I think some of that was expected. But I looked up, like, the Alliance of American Football. In the second weekend of the AAF, they were getting like 300,000, 400,000 people watching. The XFL had over 2 million in week two.
So this is very much an eye of the beholder thing here, right? Let's say you are a critic of the XFL or rooting for it to fail or whatever. You'll just go, hop, they lost a third of their audience. See? Yeah. Point taken. If you are a guy like this dude named Connor Folk, who's an XFL reporter, you'll go, but wait, hold on, look at this. The thing you just mentioned, that data point, where, yeah, they lost some of their audience, absolutely. But it's more than double what the AAF was doing in week number
two. More than double. I mean, it's like four times as much in some of the windows.
Right. So the afternoon game, the ABC game got 2.26, but peaked around 3.
Yeah.
The afternoon game on the AAF on TNT got 1 million.
Yeah.
So it's like, again, more than double. So, like, you're talking, or triple at kind of the peak. So the point kind
and
of
the
is.
The problem with the Alliance, in my opinion, is that weekend they had an NFL Network broadcast as well.
Mm-hmm.
So they started moving those games off of those networks.
Right.
The broadcast that was on, I think it was NFL Network, got like about 400,000. So you're comping that too to the other ESPN broadcast, which is closer to 2 million. I would say this is good news for the XFL, but as you said, there's probably people that would say, I don't know, losing 30% of your audience isn't very good.
I look at it as good news for the XFL. Just, again, as somebody that's, I would consider myself unbiased. I'm not rooting for or against anything. I just, whatever. To me, this is better retention than you would have thought. And I think a lot of it is because it's on ABC / ESPN.
That's what's
going to
help.
It's pretty mainstream. So to me, the real test, this is another data point. All we're doing is collecting data points. The real test is, what are we doing in week 5, week 6, week 7? If it's still this kind of steady graph decline, then you kind of start to alarm
bells. If you lose another, let's just say, quarter million this week, quarter million, if we're down under 1 million at some point during the season, that's really a bad sign.
Yeah, the AAF got there in week 2. If you're down there in week 7, 8, 9, maybe it's not the end of the world.
I still would say it's a bad look.
It's bad, yeah.
I'm not saying they have to hold on to $2.5 million every single week, but I think you'd like to be up over $1.5-2 million. That's a reasonable enough number on the weekend with a lot going on this time of year. Sports-wise, there isn't a lot on the weekend other than college basketball.
Mm-hmm.
But there's plenty to do on a Saturday or a Sunday. By the way, I'm getting a lot of tweets. D.C. public schools are out this week. That's why there was no traffic. Again, I'm supposed to know that, I guess.
Well, I knew that, but I didn't think that would influence how traffic was going to be going down.
Deal.
I don't know, man.
Why are they out this week? Winter break or something?
Yeah, it's like a winter break thing.
In February?
Yeah.
Not related to the holidays?
It's kind of you go, hey, President's Day's here, so why don't we just add a couple days where nobody's in school?
So they get out for Christmas time.
Uh-huh.
They get out for spring break.
Uh-huh.
And they have a random week off in February?
Winter break, yeah.
I definitely didn't get that when I was in school.
Yeah, I knew that because obviously I have children, and yes, one of my sons is in D.C. schools, and he wasn't at school this week. I figured that out. I was like, why are you here? Why? What happened? He's like, yeah, I don't have school. Oh, so now I know that.
Do they get a break off every month, basically?
Not exactly.
Every other month, pretty much?
It ends up averaging out that way.
It's pretty nice.
That shouldn't influence my commute going to Capitol Hill, though.
CBS has a mock draft that came out with last night. The Redskins traded out of the number 2 pick. We'll tell you what they got, which you might like more than Chase Young, to be completely honest with you. D&D on the Fan. Almost time for mock draft season. I mean, some crazies have started. In fact, some people are mock drafting the day after the NFL season ends, essentially. But we're almost into the real flow of that time of year where every day a new mock comes out that means something to you.
Some scout told somebody or some team executive texted somebody or some workout happens. Guys fly up and down the board. No football's been played for months. And the opinions of these players will change dramatically over the next, you know, however many days, 60 days until the draft.
So if you look at the draft order right now, you'll see that the Redskins are selecting number 2. And because of that, the expectation is after Joe Burrow goes 1, and we can update you on Joe Burrow to the Bengals as well because there's a little bit of traction and some controversy on that front. But Burrow goes 1, presumably to Cincinnati. The Redskins would then pick 2nd, and they would take Chase Young out of Ohio State. The sexy thing right now in mock drafts, and I've seen 2 of them in the last 24 hours that have done this, has the Redskins trading out of number 2 to then get the 5th and the 18th pick from the Miami Dolphins, basically. If they can get 5 and 18 for 2, by the way, I would do that. Now, not every of the trade options leads to the Redskins picking 5 and 18 in these mocks. Some of them, they get the 5th pick, and then they get like a 2nd-round pick this year and a 1st next year. But the one that I saw that was interesting to me was on Instagram yesterday. It was CBS Sports HQ.
Uh-huh.
So this is just the CBS Sports site Instagram. And they have a graphic here. And it says, Dolphins trade up for Tua Tagovailoa. This is the Ryan Wilson mock draft. We have him on the show a lot.
Uh-huh.
Might be worth getting him on in the next couple days, Dar. Wilson says, the Dolphins move up to 2 and get that Redskins pick, and they give them 5 and 18 in the first round because they have 3 first-round picks
right
now.
That's right.
If they're willing to give the Redskins 5 and 18 for 2 straight up, is that enough for you? This year, you'd add 2 first-rounders for 1. It would remind me a little bit. I don't know if you remember that Redskins 49ers trade years ago where they traded a couple first-rounders in the same year to go up to get, like, number 3. And they had the 2nd and 3rd picks after the crazy Ricky Williams deal.
Uh-huh.
And they took Arrington and Samuels. Do you remember that?
Yeah, of course.
Remind me a little bit of that where you're going 2 for 1 and you're just going way up to the top of the board. But what about if the Redskins gave the Dolphins 2 and they gave you 5 and 18 this year? Is that enough?
That's good for me.
You'll take it?
Yeah.
I think I might as well when I see what you get for that. So they actually have the mock filled out after that.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what they ended up getting at 5 and 18. And you can mix and match the players as you like to, obviously.
Sure.
But they've got the linebacker from Clemson, Isaiah Simmons, who was just ridiculous this year.
Do you like guys that are really, really fast and make plays?
He's so fast, and he makes every play.
Yep.
We're number 11 at Clemson. We talked about him for about 10 minutes after the national championship game because he was just
incredible. He's a bad man.
The other player at 18 is wide receiver Henry Ruggs out of Alabama.
Who I covet.
Who... there is at least some speculation based on the odds coming out of Vegas now, could break the record for the 40-yard dash time at this year's combine. They're saying he might run a 4-2-1, a 4-2 flat, basically, in the combine. Now, I don't know if that's going to happen. Doesn't matter if it happens. But what you're talking about here is Chase Young at 2 or Isaiah Simmons and Henry Ruggs. And you could probably fill in blanks. I don't think Jeff Okuda is going to be there, the cornerback that everybody loves, who's the best corner in the country right now. But let's say the Ohio State corner is there at 5 because the Giants take Jedrick Willis, the offensive tackle from Alabama, and the Lions take Chase Young at 3. If the Dolphins are moving up to 2, that means Tua, obviously. So it goes Burrow, Tua, Young, 1-3. You'd only basically need Okuda not to go at number 4. Let's say you take, instead of Simmons, you take Jeff Okuda, the corner from Ohio State.
Boom.
Best corner in the class. Now at 18, you're talking about the possibility of somebody like, and again, I like the Ruggs idea, but I'm just throwing other names that it could look like out there. I'll say Grant Delpit, the safety from LSU, if you want to go defense again. Or it could be Kenneth Murray, the linebacker from Oklahoma. C.J. Henderson, the corner from Florida. C.D. Lamb, if you want to go wide receiver from Oklahoma, who I love. You could take the TCU wideout, Jalen Reagor, or pretty much pick of the litter on defensive linemen like Texas A&M's Matabuke, Justin Matabuke. Whatever you want to do there, it's your choice.
Right.
And I guess my question in setting this topic up is, for the people that are all about Chase Young, when we assign two names to it, if you could get 5-18 from Miami, and let's just assign for the sake of the discussion, do you want to go Okuda or Simmons at 5?
I think Okuda goes, so let's call it Simmons.
Okay, Simmons and Ruggs or Young, what would you rather have? Let's pose it that way.
Yeah, I mean, that to me is what this is all about. Now, I think, honestly, the asking price will be even more than these two first-round picks. You'll get a second-rounder sprinkled in. I think there's a bidding war. I think that's coming. I really do. But let's say, for the sake of this discussion, it's just those two first-rounders. What you're going to end up with is the number one player, in all likelihood, at a different position, right? Whether it's corner, whether it's middle linebacker, whether it's offensive tackle, if that's the route you want to go down, right? Whoever you like best at a position that's not a quarterback, that's not the defensive end, you'll end up with the number one guy.
The best non-QB DN in the country.
Then you end up with maybe the guy that's rated number 2 or number 3 at a different position, right? In the case of wide receiver, a couple guys are going to go ahead of Ruggs or one of the other guys that may slide to that spot. The point is, you look historically, those guys, the second, third, fourth guys drafted at a given position, are every bit as likely, if not more so, to be starters, to be Pro Bowlers, to be institutions for the teams that draft them and get their second contracts. They're always misses, right? That happens everywhere, of course. And we feel like we've got a surefire thing in Chase Young, and I feel that way too. But to me, the point is to be great. And you're better if you get two starters who are quality starters over one in the NFL. It's not the NBA. In the NBA, you get the star and that's it. You don't worry about anything else. Here, you've got to fill out 53, and the best way to do that is multiple first-rounders.
So you'll take Simmons, Ruggs over Young?
I would.
I think I would, too. And I love Chase Young.
Yeah,
I mean, I think that
rightfully so.
You don't have any all-pros, but I think Simmons could be one. I don't really see Ruggs in that way, to be honest with you. I don't see him as like a number one. I think he's kind of Hollywood Brownish. I think he's a burner who can make big plays, but I love that. You have him and Terry McLaurin. That's a receiving group already now. With elite level speed on the outside.
I want that threat back. I didn't realize how important that threat was, and now I know. The ability to send somebody deep that terrifies the defense.
So let's get to the calls on this next and get your thoughts. You can tweet us if you'd like.
At Funny Danny for me, at Grant H. Paulson for Grant H. Paulson.
Question is, Chase Young at 2, or in this hypothetical from CBS's Ryan Wilson, you get the 5th and the 18 picks, 18th overall, and you're going with, we're just saying Simmons and Ruggs, but it could be the best linebacker and one of the best wide receivers in the country. Would you do that? Grant and Danny on the Fan. Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Thanks for listening, as always. With you from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. each and every day, spread the word. Remember, by the way, if you miss any part of our show, you can always, via the radio.com app, just use that thumb to toggle back and hit rewind. It's a great feature.
Be kind, rewind.
That is Blockbuster?
I think it was Blockbuster.
Is it another video store? I feel like Be Kind, Rewind might have Blockbuster written all over
it. Let me look it up. I just remember it. It's one of those things that sticks with me.
Think about that, by the way.
Because also a movie, too, which is dumb.
A VHS. that you would pull out of the box and like put in your VCR might be like halfway into the movie when you start it.
Oh yeah,
it was how dumb was that time in history?
So frustrating. Yeah, I think it was a Blockbuster thing.
Okay.
I think it was a Blockbuster thing. I'm looking at some of the colors. Because all that pops up when you say Be Kind, Rewind is the dumb movie about being kind and rewinding.
I don't even remember that
movie. Oh, it was so stupid. It was so stupid.
Chick flick?
I don't really know.
Who's in it?
I'll have to look that up.
You can't see like the picture right there?
Yeah, I'm looking at the picture.
Jack Black's in it? I got to watch it.
It's a Jack Black movie.
Okay, so I'm being told Jack Black and Mos Def are in it, which means I'm most definitely going to watch it. That's what that means.
I'm most definitely passing. I think I watched 8.5 minutes of it.
I used to love going to the movie store. What we would do is, like Friday nights, not every Friday night, but my dad would take me and my brothers and sister. We'd all get to pick out like one movie. You walk around the shelves and the racks and you're looking at the films. Me and my brother used to do a bit where he would rent a bunch of like WWF at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Royal Rumbles.
It's so hard to pick.
From the 90s. So this is, I'm thinking the time frame here is probably between like 98 and 02, if I had to guess, something like that, 98 okay. And maybe even 2000. But we would have like the 93 or the 95 Royal Rumble with these random dudes like Tatanka and Coco Beware.
Sure.
We'd always get those, or if a new movie came out we really wanted to see, you go to like the new releases section, and they'd have the cover with the plastic, and they were all taken. There might be like one left if you're really lucky, and you're like, oh, it's there, yes.
It's there, yes.
That's the way we used to watch movies. Think about that. It's just crazy to me. Now it's just, I'll get it on demand.
I'll push a button on a remote control. Like, my child will never live in a world where you had to go to a Blockbuster or a Hollywood Video if you were JV level. You'll never understand that you have a membership card and there's fines on your account because you were too late or you didn't rewind.
We
people
stayed
knew.
Bringing movies back late.
Oh, yeah.
We never brought them back on time. And the other thing was, I can't tell you how many times we bring a movie back without a case. You ever do that?
No.
Like, you can't find the case somehow. It was like sitting on the VCR, but then it was gone or whatever.
I was militant about that. Nobody messed with that stuff.
Dude, we would bring movies back and like pay for the case or whatever. Like, we got the movie, but we didn't bring the case.
We don't have the case.
Big thing for us for a little while. This is just nostalgia talking, but it's kind of sad that our kids won't have that at all.
I know.
It's better. They're in a better world. They're in a better existence.
Even you guys that are younger than me, there was so much more reward with the struggle. Now the ease of everything that's on demand is awesome. It's wonderful. But for those of us that remember how hard it was to get anything.
But there's also a memory to it where I would, like, I'm sitting in my kitchen with my dad right now going, can we go rent a movie? And he's got to drive me.
Yes. And
it was a big to-do. To do it.
And you circled like a shark around the different racks and
the
aisles.
All around. You get one.
How do you make a decision?
Okay. And then he takes you home and you watch the movie.
Yes.
Now you're just sitting there and he goes, you want to watch this? And hits the button.
Yeah, I'm paying hundreds a month for a cornucopia of selections. Anything you want to watch right now, I can watch. Anything Disney's ever done, Pixar's ever done, Star Wars, Marvel, the whole nine yards. Netflix, it's amazing. It's wonderful. But like, none of you guys know what it was like to have to call a girl's
you
house
love talking about
and
this.
Have her father answer and you asked to speak to the girl. None of you knew how hard it was just to see a girl without a top on. No one knew. No one knew how hard it was. No one knew.
It was
the
definitely
struggle.
Never hard.
Yeah. You guys have had instant access your whole life. Instant.
As a kid, well, you know, I wouldn't completely say that, honestly. Because when I was 10 to 13,
uh-huh.
Like there are no laptops for kids at that point like there are now.
Right.
You're on a family computer in the family room with your parents sitting around.
Yeah, the one that had the download ability.
You're not on the internet like hunting around for those things. So my point is, that's still if you're talking about just seeing a topless woman, you got to stumble into a movie on like Cinemax, basically.
Right.
Or you're like me, and you know that Titanic has
Kate Winslet
sure. being painted like one of his French girls, and so you go see it in theater four times. I mean, it was not as easy as you're making it out to be. Today, if you're growing up today, obviously extremely easy. You have you basically have an iPad and a laptop when you're like six if you're a kid at this point.
You basically had to have, in my day, you basically had to have one kid with an older brother that had some kind of access.
See, I was going to say.
That was the key.
I had two older brothers, and so you either find their stash, if you will.
Oh, yeah.
Or
everyone had a stash.
There's always like one kid in every grade who was like I hate to call him the weirdo, but like the weirdo that had access to all that stuff.
Matt Mahaffey for us.
That was Matt Mahaffey?
Matt Mahaffey. Matt Mahaffey had older brothers, and that's where you went. He was the depot. He was the access man. He held all the cards. He was the agent of the Matrix. If you wanted to get to where you wanted to go, if you wanted to find the source, that was the guy.
But you're giving us more credit, or maybe even not enough credit, I guess. You're acting like we had it easier than we actually did. I would say it was the era like right after me, 30 years old-ish.
Sure enough, because you're right. From 10 to 12, it still probably wasn't easy for you.
No.
Right.
Even at like 13, 14. I mean, that's
maybe even longer. Yeah.
If you don't have older brothers, you're in a bad spot there.
You're Ken Boned. I mean, for us, it was basically like, is there a picture in the Sears catalog that's just the right angle? You know, in like the brassiere section.
That's definitely worse than what
that's
we had.
I mean, that was the best it got.
That got off the rails, and we didn't get into the Chase Young discussion.
Our bad, guys.
Let's do it next. That was important, though. I thought that was therapeutic for everybody.
Be kind, rewind. That's what got us there.
Yeah. Gotta be kind. You gotta rewind. The number is 800-636-1067. We're going to hit the calls hard next. So if you're on hold, we're getting to you. If you're not, there are a few lines open. What would you rather? If you're the Redskins, pick at number two and get Chase Young, or do this trade that Ryan Wilson of CBS has suggested, where they trade 2 for 5 and 18, and maybe it would take more than that, as you said, in a secondary pick later in the draft, or a pick in the future rounds, next year at some point, second or third or something. But this year, you'd be swapping out Chase Young for 5 and 18, which would look something like Isaiah Simmons, the best linebacker in the country, and Henry Ruggs, the fastest wide receiver in the country. Would you rather the two really good players or the one supposed to Cam Newton Young? Next on Grant and Danny.
Spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.